And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. We had the long weekend, Joe. We're back this morning. How are we doing? What's going on?
Doing all right. Doing better than the hoodie over here.
Good stuff from old Billy B last night, Ian. They looked great out there, didn't they?
Not great.
Goodness. 48-14.
Off to a good start.
Yeah. But he had I looked up on the TV, Joe, and I saw the interview he was doing. I think it was Holly Rowe that was out there last night. I was like, wow, he's got that hoodie on, huh? Got that hoodie, cut off sleeves. He's just immediately getting in there with it at North Carolina.
Sure.
And then they hung around for, I don't know, quarter? And then that was about it.
I mean, they got absolutely pantsed. I mean, they got absolutely destroyed. It's one game, so there's so much overreaction to this whole weekend of college football that we can have. There's a lot.
There's a lot there.
I mean, and a long way to go on all this stuff, but like I'm just a genius, a schematic genius. And again, that's basically what they're saying. Like, this is just the 33rd NFL team. Now that's funny.
I saw a tweet last night.
That's funny.
I need to remember who it was that said basically like, God, I hope the 33rd NFL team never has to play the 32nd NFL team. It'd be rough.
My goodness.
Did you hear they had 70 transfers this year, too? I don't know if you heard that in the broadcast or not. I think it was mentioned once or twice.
Did they mention that Ryan Williams was 17 years old last year?
They might have brought that up in the same sentence, actually. It's unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, they showed his girlfriend in the press box last night, too. A lot of stuff going on.
They showed Jordan and Jordan.
They did.
You know, both Jordans, Air Jordans.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on there. 34-point loss, the largest apparently in the season opener for North Carolina since 2003.
And the first time that a Bill Belichick team has ever given up 48 points.
So, making history out there last night. Wake up, Bill.
Welcome to college football. I mean, it's not like the Horned Frogs. Yeah, they looked good last night, but I don't think they're going to be a spectacular team this year. So, they were just dominated, you know? And I'm looking at that and it's like, man, like Dabo, NC State, they're just going to wail on him this year, aren't they?
Yep.
Maybe not, because week one sometimes looks ridiculous in retrospect, but this could be ugly.
They say week one's a liar. I don't know that week one normally is a 34-point liar. Like, you know, like I think it's a liar to some degree. I don't know if it's a liar to that degree. They look bad.
Right. Like Clemson last year got just destroyed by Georgia. And so there was a lot of – I remember actually being like, Cade Klubnik stinks, man. That guy can't play. And then as the season went on, he was good. And then all of a sudden people are talking about him as a number one pick. And then you watch him the other night, you're like, yeah, now why did people think he was going to be the number one pick? There's an example.
Exactly.
You know.
I mean, we'll get into that game coming up.
But,
I mean, basically my takeaway from him is the same it's always been, which is, yeah, he looks real good against the teams that aren't any good. And then you play against the actual defense, and it's like, yeah, I mean, he's all right. He's not the worst quarterback I've ever seen. But, like, I don't understand where this idea that he's, like, number one pick overall comes from.
Well, especially when you watch that game and then watch the other quarterback.
Yeah.
That guy is – good.
Yeah, I've never really understood around Cade Klubnik. So we'll see. I mean, there's still plenty of time for them to get better, and they're probably going to be in the playoff. But yeah,
I bet you he beats the crap out of North Carolina.
I bet he does. I bet he looks great against North Carolina. We got a lot of things to get into on the program today. Week one of college football was really good. Was awesome. We will get into all that. Some overreactions, as Joe Rexroad said. A lot of things to get into on that front. We will get into Tennessee. We will get into Vanderbilt. And by the way, it's game week for the Tennessee Titans. Finally, we have made it to game week here for the Titans. So we'll take your thoughts on all of it throughout the show today. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, let's start on the Vols, which feels like forever ago at this point, but it did happen on Saturday at 11 a.m. They take down Syracuse 45-26, the final score in Atlanta. They're up 17-0 after the first quarter. defense got a little squirrely in the second half there, and was inconsistent would probably be the way I put it. But overall, you're talking about a 19-point win and a game where the biggest question on your team was at the quarterback and wide receiver spot. And I thought, for the most part, both sets of obviously the quarterback and then the wide receivers looked pretty good in game one. And the offense was productive, and they get basically a 20-point win against the Syracuse Orange. So, Joe, what did you make of Tennessee in week one, Joey Aguilar, who threw for 247 yards and three touchdowns in their week one performance against the Orange?
Yeah, really good start. Really good start. Especially, I mean, I get great analysis by me, right? You know, low scoring game. You know, you saw a lot of that in college football this weekend, right? You saw a lot of just, oh, God, these offenses right now. But Tennessee wasted no time. And obviously the deep shot to Braylon Staley, that was pretty from Joe Aguilar. I thought overall he was good. He missed a few throws, but he's athletic. He definitely is going to be, you know, I think the QB run aspect will be real helpful for this offense. And I thought, you know, you wanted to see more from Matthews. I feel like he pops when he gets the ball, right?
They were off a little bit with
each
other.
Yeah. But, you know, the backs are good. I mean, you didn't have Sanders in the offensive line, you know, I thought looked pretty good. Syracuse is a decent team. Actually, I think that Angeli is going to be pretty good. I think that guy's a pretty good pickup for them. So, yeah, Tennessee gave up some plays and stuff on defense and probably wanted a better performance overall. But I don't think that was a dog food offense they were playing either. So, overall, I'd say pretty encouraging for Tennessee.
Yep, I thought a good start. You know, Aguilar, I thought, looked good. I mean, the ball that he threw to Staley for the 73-yard touchdown, he couldn't have run up and handed it to him any better. I mean, it was a perfect throw.
Yeah,
the way that all came together. So it was good there. I thought he was on time. I thought, you know, it was interesting the way that they kind of formatted their offense out there. They had a bunch of tight ends. Ethan Davis and Kitzelman were in the backfield basically a lot. So that was interesting to watch. So, like, I thought a really good debut for him. I thought a really good debut for the offense. Hey, look, people have been, and we've talked about this a little bit, they've been hyping up the loss of Dylan Sampson a lot, and I get it because Dylan Sampson was really, really good. But I think you found that Tennessee's going to be able to run the ball. Like, they are. And Sampson's a great player, but they got three guys at running back that you feel pretty good about in Bishop, Lewis, and Star Thomas. I thought was really good in that game.
I like how he looks.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tennessee is going to be able to run the ball this year. We knew that coming in. They've run for over 2,500 yards every year. Heupel's been there. And what they put up in this game, 247?
246, yeah. 6.2 a carry. You know, it's just a hard thing to deal with, especially if you got a quarterback, you know, delivering and playing well like Aguilar. It puts defenses in a bind. And, you know, Syracuse, excuse me, you know, 2.3 a carry, 44 attempts for 103 yards. So, for the most part, you know, you did what you wanted to do defensively. Gave up some plays downfield, but pretty impressive and convincing performance.
Well, the big thing is, from a Tennessee standpoint, they're dealing with a lot of injuries early. Like, they, you know, Ricky Gibson left the game, didn't play basically in the second half, and now Heupel said yesterday that he's out for an extended period of time. So it doesn't sound like he's going to be back for Georgia. So you could be in a situation in 2 weeks where you don't have Ricky Gibson and you don't have Jermon McCoy as your starting two corners against Georgia. And that does not seem to be pretty good. I like what I saw from Colton Hood. You know, they had some corners that came in, like Ty Redmond, true freshman out there playing well. Like, he looked good out there. But if you don't have Gibson and McCoy in a couple weeks against Georgia, that could be a big problem for you. So we'll see what that looks like and whether or not McCoy's back by then. But I thought Colton Hood, the transfer from Colorado, looked pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. And, boy, you know, if there's a way to fast-track McCoy for that game, that would be – I mean, I've kind of felt in my mind that maybe that was the – I don't know why I'm having trouble today talking. I've kind of thought, like, maybe that was the idea, right, the plan, like, you know, just hold off and then be ready for that game. Now it may be, urgent. But – you're not going to do anything to jeopardize the long term still. That would be very bad for that game.
They had some trouble at defensive tackle, had Jackson Moy go down, and then they had some young guys step in at defensive tackle. So we'll see what that looks like for them. So that's really the main thing for them right now defensively is, can you get somewhat healthy at some point? Because they're struggling at cornerback right now. They're struggling at defensive tackle. You mentioned David Sanders at right tackle. He couldn't play, got hurt in practice last week, and then woke up and did not get cleared by the doctors to play against Syracuse. So they had to move Jesse Perry from guard to tackle. Thought he did fine.
Yeah.
Look, this week for Tennessee, you're taking on ETSU. So it's basically like anybody who's dinged up a little bit is probably not going to play. And then can you get in, get out without anybody else getting hurt? And then you got Georgia coming in. Like, that's basically what it's going to be. So, I mean, next week it's going to be a big test as to what Tennessee actually is. I have no idea how good or not good Syracuse is going to be. But I thought specifically from the quarterback, it would be difficult to ask Aguilar to come in and do much more than he did. Like, I'm not going to go overboard with it and be like, well, Aguilar was – he was perfect out there. Like, he was high on some throws. You know, he missed some throws early in the game. But I thought, for given the situation that he was coming into, I think you'd be crazy to say he did not exceed your expectations coming in game one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, I wasn't sure he'd win the job, and I thought this game could be ugly and dicey. And, yeah, he looked – especially, again, he's only been there a little bit. He hasn't been in this offense. This offense is different. It just is. But he seemed to have a really good command of it. You know, again, missing some throws, but it didn't look operationally like an issue. They were able to – I thought they really played with tempo at times.
Yeah.
I thought at times it seemed to me like they were a little better at going fast than a lot of last year. I don't know. That has to be a lot on him too. I think it's also maybe by design, because I think they need to get back to that. But yeah, for a first performance, pretty good. And then, yeah, like you said, this week is avoid injury, pad stats, have some fun, and then, you know, we're definitely going to find out more after that.
You know what else I noticed this weekend from Aguilar? I looked up, I was like, wow, that ball went over the middle of the field. Hey. There's another pass over the middle of the field. I hadn't seen that in the offense the last 2 years.
That is true.
It's crazy.
That is true.
You can open up the middle of the field here.
I'd throw to Miles Kitzelman a lot
if I
was Tennessee.
Yeah, I'd probably do that too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Alabama goes down at Florida State. Arch struggles mightily against Ohio State. Vanderbilt gets a big win. We got a lot to get into on the college football front from week one. We will do all that. Take your thoughts on any way you want to take it on the college football front. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
This is Aguilar taking a toss, and it's caught middle of the field, out to the 5-yard line, touchdown Braylon Staley. Joey Aguilar throwing it down the middle of the field for 73 yards. How about that for an answer?
Joey, congratulations. After what was an interesting and ramped up offseason for you over spring and summer, how did it finally feel to wear that uniform and get out here?
Man, it feels great. You know, I mean, it's almost like a home game. We're in Atlanta, you know, good experience, but I'm glad we got the win. A lot to work on, but, you know, I'm grateful. We're going to enjoy it tonight, but get back to work.
It was a ramp up of learning this offense. How were you able to go out there today and lead this offense in the manner that you did?
You know, the trust that the coaches got in me, trust that players got in me, and then vice versa, the trust I got in everybody else. You know, at the end of the day, it's football. I've been playing my whole life, and just go out there and let it loose.
That's Joey Aguilar after a 45-26 win for Tennessee over the weekend.
Who does he sound like? This is reminding me of like the Callahan, like, you know, the stepbrothers thing. There's like, his voice reminds me of someone I can't quite place.
I don't know.
Someone help us out.
That's a pretty unique one. Nothing really came to mind.
Who does Joey Aguilar sound like?
He sounds like somebody. He sounds like somebody in movies. I'll figure it out.
I'm laughing. I'm seeing on my Twitter page, Aaron Torres, who is a host for Fox Sports Radio. It says, Bill Belichick if Tom Brady was never born. And it's just a picture of Butch Jones walking around in Tennessee coaching outfit.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. I mean, there are some Man, there's some takes to be had about college football week one.
So
man,
let me ask you, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Arch Manning? Do you want to start with Alabama getting beat by Florida State? Or do you want to start with Nico and Vols fans hate watching? Where would you like to begin?
I don't know. I mean, I like it all. I do like – I do have to give a shout-out to Liam McLeod. On to Charlotte. On to Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch that UNC-Charlotte game this weekend, guys. I'm interested.
What's the line?
That's a good question. And how much has it changed, if at all? I can figure this out. I know what the – I can find the line – previous to last night. I know it because I know I have it in my email.
Okay.
I'll be very interested to see, you know, if and how much that change on that one is. But, yeah, there's – you – so, wait, would you hit up there? You went Arch.
Arch, Alabama, Florida State, and also Vols fans hate watching Nico.
Yeah, so it's funny.
Great day for Vols fans on Saturday, by the way.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny because – so I'm doing this thing this year where it's message board Monday.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And
yeah.
So and those are the three things that I – basically, I'm just, like, going through message boards and making fun of people and their dumb posts, kind of. But also some good posts, some very good posts, too, on these message boards. But anyways, those are the three – those were the three topics, you know. Let's stick with Tennessee because we've been talking Tennessee, so let's stick with Tennessee. I've noticed a lot of really good conversation, and I've really enjoyed seeing some Tennessee fans, and you may disagree with this, saying, hey, guys, can we just, like, support Joey and not hate Nico that much? But, like, as soon as he threw that TD pass, Aguilar the other day, Vol Twitter, you, like, in unison, Nico never made that throw. I'm like, all right. I mean, I'm sure Joey Aguilar will probably overthrow a receiver or two. You know, that was a beautiful pass. But, like, just the whole – and now, like
– he missed a couple of throws in this past game.
Well, sure. But, I mean, like a one of those obvious – like, the guy's wide open. It's the easiest touchdown ever. I mean, Joe Milton and Nico overthrew.
I will say, it was pretty funny. The first drive UCLA had, Nico had a guy wide open down the field. And just sailed it by about 5 yards. And I was like
– you loved it.
Oh, boy. I went immediately to Twitter.
Well, here's the thing. Let me ask you this. Right now, take away all the BS, okay? Take away all the BS, just player for player. Would you take Nico or Joey Aguilar as your quarterback?
I mean, probably Nico because of the talent level. But again, like, there were obvious limitations with him in the offense last year. Like, we were talking about him taking a step from year one to year two. I still think talent-wise, it's not close. Like, Nico has more talent than Joey Aguilar does. But, like, I will say, the offense looked way different on Saturday with Aguilar running the offense. Like, they just did stuff that they didn't do with Nico last year. So, it's honestly a better question than I thought it would be. It really is.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to overreact to week one, but I'm going more just operation of the offense. Like, it was different.
Yeah. I mean, I will never know. Like, Nico, regular offseason, no BS. You go through all this stuff. How different does it look? I think it probably would have looked quite a bit different. And the hard part with that is, if you watched him the other night, you might be like, oh my, like, you might think he stinks. He plays for —
they're bad.
One of the, like, they are, like, bottom 10, maybe.
They're bad.
They're so bad. And it's, so, to me, the takeaway is just, my God, again, did he blow this?
He totally screwed himself.
Yes.
Yeah, like, that's what he's, that's the takeaway here.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I agree. Like, Tennessee operation looked better. I think that would have happened with him. But maybe not. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. Maybe there are just some limitations with him. He certainly, you know, he made a few plays. He had a beautiful TD pass, actually, like the one, you know, like, that was pretty. He had some runs that I thought were, like, I basically watched the whole game, so I guess I was hate watching too. I don't know. I really was, like, hoping he would do something good for himself. He was like, God, this is going to get so bad. And also, I hope he never, ever goes on the internet again.
Well,
that would be good.
Here's kind of my, like, I knew that was going to happen the other night. I knew when I saw the schedule that he was playing Utah, that Tennessee fans were going to stay up and they're going to watch it. And I figured it probably wouldn't go well for UCLA because I know how bad UCLA is. So we talked about that the moment he went there, which was like, why are you going there? Like, they are terrible. So what are you doing? So I figured that game probably wasn't going to go well for him. I wonder if this is going to be like a one-time – like, I, for me, as a Tennessee fan, I saw it. I don't know how much more Nico UCLA I'm going to be watching this year. Like, I did it the one time, and now I'm like, all right, they're bad. He's probably not going to have a very good year.
Right.
And I don't know how much of my time I'm going to spend watching it at this point.
Yeah, like, I think it totally – I totally get it week one. And now it's like your quarterback's Joey Aguilar, Vols fans, and you have a good team, and you got a chance to, you know, to have a good season, and he could be good. And yeah, I mean, like, do you need any more Nico viewing? I mean, you know, it's not going to be pretty, man. It's not going to be pretty. No, I mean, going there is like, you know, it's a Big Ten power four school, so. I don't know what exactly the money is, but probably like they probably paid pretty well, right? And I mean, it is going back home, and it's the job that opened because that's where Tennessee got Joey Aguilar. So, like you're down to like not many great choices. But man, speaking, you know, and on the topic of like quarterback transfers, high expectations. I don't think North Carolina's got – Gio Lopez was a good pickup at all for Bill Belichick. I you know, the kid, Max Johnson, who came in late, looked actually okay last night. So there's a – and by the way, I just found this. That was off the board. So the North Carolina at Charlotte, they sent out lines yesterday, and it was off the board, which I guess makes
sense. I saw no spread when I looked just now.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. It'd be interesting to see where that comes in.
Yes. It will.
But, yeah, I think Vols fans just, you know, like, whatever. Just let Nico be and
hope. Do you realize who you're talking to?
Yes, I know.
Okay.
Cody says
just trying to make sure. Like, you know, this is the same people that Shiano Sunday and when Lane Kiffin were chasing him out of town with a mattress on fire. Like, this is so. They're going to watch Nico and hate watch probably all year. Yeah. I'm not. Like, I got my one in and I feel okay and. Frankly, like I was watching, I was like, God, they are bad. Like, it almost takes the fun out of it how bad they are.
Yeah. Now, I also do think, and I tweeted, you know, what about, enjoying Devon Dampier, Utah's quarterback? They might be freaking good. They might be a wagon.
Might
man.
Be.
So I don't, but it's hard to tell because UCLA is cheeks. Like, they're in a bad, bad spot. Someone's saying you're seeing Nico without an all SEC back. Yeah, well, you're seeing him without player. I mean, you're seeing him without anything, you know. Dustin from Hopkinsville says Joey elevates a team Nico doesn't. Yeah, see,
we'll
I
see.
Just – yeah.
Look, he
did a good job. He did a
I don't
good
think
job.
Syracuse is very good. That's me. Like, I don't think Syracuse is very good.
I don't think their D is very good at
all. Yeah, like their defense not very good. We'll see what their offense looks like. But Syracuse to me is probably going to win like 5-6 games this year. So I don't know that I'd get too carried away. If you're a Tennessee fan with the Syracuse win, we're going to find out a lot here in a couple weeks when they take on Georgia.
Yeah, lots of – yeah, no doubt. Nevada Josh says, hate watching. Damn, you're right. That is what I was doing. I need to go to church Sunday. A lot of love on the text line, by the way, for Austin Peay. A lot of let's go Peay. Austin Peay going into Murfreesboro and taking it to Middle Tennessee. Great for Austin Peay.
Not Chris good for Derek Parsons, Mason
and not good for the Blue Raiders. Fly is open. Let's go, P.
That's right.
There you go. I mean, that's tough, man. That's a bad start.
That's a bad start for Derek Mason in year two. Austin Peay, by the way, has Georgia coming up this weekend. Goes from MTSU, big win, and now they got Georgia on the road.
Watch out, Kirby.
See what happens. Georgia, head on a swivel. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We got a whole lot more to get into. On the college football front, the Titans have their game week this week. We will get into that in the 7 o'clock hour. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, multiple things. You know, anytime you give up two turnovers or touchdowns offensively, that's not good. We gave up several long plays on defense, you know, where they gained a lot of yards on one play. So just too many of those. There wasn't any one thing. It was a combination of multiple things. Too many three and outs, too many long plays on defense, and then two turnovers. Well, we had three turnovers, but two turnovers, touchdowns. You can't overcome that.
That's Bill Belichick. He's right. It was everything. It was not one thing. They did get their butts kicked in every facet of the game last night.
I mean, that
good
first,
observation, Bill.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Bill. It was better. It's better than under Charlotte. I mean, that first drive really was like think of the excitement level of the UNC fan at that moment, right?
Yeah.
After that, it's like, dude, this guy's a genius. We're gonna kick everybody's butt. We are awesome.
Dan Wolken fired up out there.
Was he?
I don't know. He came on our show last week and said they're going like 11-1 or whatever it was, didn't he? 10-2.
God, you're right. That's right, Wolken. Boy, I haven't read his comment, but it was something like, you know, like you'd expect, like complete debacle from Belichick in opener. Yeah. You might want to revise that one a little bit, Dan. Oh boy,
It's starting to look like Ryan McGee may be correct, who came on our show and was like, "Yeah, I think it's going to be a total disaster." We'll see. It's 1 week. Bill's got some time to figure some things out down there.
Yeah, it's, you know, like a lot of new coaches come into a place like that, and you could see something like this happening.
Yeah.
And realistically, did anybody think they were going to be just great right away? No, but it was so bad. Like, just so completely. And I just, Freddie Kitchens is your OC. I don't know, man.
And your son is the DC.
And then Steve's over there with his
hair.
Whatever the hair is happening right now. And I'm not so sure. But then again, Matt Patricia's a genius again. So,
well,
at least we have that.
I was going to bring that up. Matt Patricia looked awesome as defensive coordinator for Ohio State against Texas. Arch Manning did not look good. Matter of fact, Arch Manning looked downright bad for most of the game.
Bad.
And it looked like he started to somewhat get in a rhythm toward the end of the second half there, but it was too late at that point, and Ohio State walks away with the win in a low-scoring affair on Saturday in that one. So what do you take away from that, Joe? What do you take away? Not only, like, I don't think it's a huge shock that Texas went into Ohio State and lost, right? I mean, you're talking about the reigning national champion and a very tough place to play. But the look is totally inept, as they did offensively, and specifically for Manning to look as bad as he did offensively. What's the takeaway from that in week one?
Well, first of all, I mean, I have to go to Dustin in Hopkinsville, who says he'd much rather have Aguilar than Arch Manning. And I said, I'm not sure. Are you serious? He said, oh, absolutely. Joey over Arch. He's way overhyped. So let's please pump the brakes, my God. But I will say that Arch, he was bad. I mean, just the lack of accuracy. You know, I saw Dan Orlovsky breaking down maybe halftime of – maybe it was the LSU-Clemson game. I don't know. Or was it last night? It all runs together. But he had a good film breakdown of the different things that Ohio State was doing to change the picture after the snap, you know, stuff that – so everybody thinks Patricia's awesome. That's great. Being at Ohio State, it's amazing. Like, oh, my God, Greg Schiano, wow. Like, go through all the coaches. Man, when they have the better players than the other team every week, it's amazing how much smarter they are. Crazy. But Orlovsky broke down the some of the things that would mess with Arch. And that's all fine. But it still didn't – and he's trying to explain the missed throws. But, like, some of them are like, it's right there in front of you and you just miss them. The throw to Wingo late was – that was brutal. Now, he did have a couple big-time throws finally at the end of the game – or late in the game, but then again, he's just missing these throws. So my big takeaway is, like, let's go back to, like, just the ridiculous overhyping of the kid without knowing what he is, and the ridiculous, oh, he's clearly the number one pick, without knowing, without really seeing him play as a starting quarterback in college football. Could he end up being great? Sure. Man, I don't watch this game and say, oh God, he just can't play at all. But accuracy is a pretty big part of QB, and his mechanics to me kind of look a little weird, you know? Like, it's like there's a little hitch when he throws, I thought. So again, I'm no expert on that, but it just looked a little bit strange coming out of his hand at times. So, and then, you know, that Texas fans are, it's either he's bad or, like, now Steve Sarkisian is the new James Franklin. And it's like, well, I mean, you know, you've gotten to the semifinals the last 2 years, and like, he won at Alabama with Saban 2 years ago. Like, that's not that's not James Franklin stuff. So, but it's, again, time to overreact. I think Arch will be fine, but will he be great?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I can't watch this game and tell you with certainty that I think that.
Well, it was pretty stunningly bad. Like, again, people are acting like this is the first time we've seen him play college football. and it's not. We've seen him play college football games. Now, the competition went up dramatically, but he played in the playoff. Like, he played in the playoff games in, you know, a more limited role for sure, but he got in there, and he didn't look totally lost. Like, that was, like, he just looked lost on Saturday. And then I think it trickled down to the fundamentals. Like, there's that one throw that he made where he's basically standing flat-footed and tried to flick one in their sidearm on a crossing route and threw a ball 2 yards behind the receiver.
That was the wingo.
Yeah, throw. It just looked bad. And I don't know if it was – he was seeing stuff that he just was not prepared for, or they were doing something that he didn't expect after the snap. I don't know what it was on Saturday, but he looked really, really bad. So, I mean, naturally, I mean, he's been just getting eviscerated since then. I mean, social media has been an interesting place to watch when it comes to the Arch Manning front since then. We knew that was going to happen one way or the other, right? Like, it was going to be, if it was really good, he was going to be anointed. And if it was really bad, he was going to be the most overrated player ever. I'm with you. I think he'll end up being fine. I think they'll end up being fine. I did expect their offense to look like they had a little bit more of a clue than they did in that game against Ohio State. And maybe that's just full credit to Ohio State, and they're just going to be an absolute wagon out there again. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, they will be. I mean, it's amazing that they can lose eight guys, and it's just like the reload, like their new linebacker is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
And the pass – and look, it's also – I mean, Texas, it is week one offensive line play too, so I expect that to get better, but they didn't look very good up front.
I feel like Arch needs to be a little bit better in the pocket, no? I don't know how much of a runner, how effective he's going to be as a runner against top-level defenses. Because I don't know, is he in the top-level runner athlete?
And when you pretty good. Yeah. He didn't do it that much.
And then, but when you play like Ohio State and top-level NFL defenses, I don't know if he's going to be able to get away with running as much.
Yeah.
So I think he just needs to, I don't know, work on this pocket game.
Well, I agree, but also I would say, you know, in games like that, maybe you do a little bit more design stuff with them, you know, to put defenses in a bind. But
yeah, maybe,
you know, but yeah, I mean, I agree. He's got to be able to hang in there and make throws. It was bad. It was bad. If it would have been good, if he would have been awesome and they would have won, then the discussion would be Ohio State fans that hate Ryan Day all over again.
Yes.
Never mind.
Yes.
Never mind the Natty. You suck.
That's right.
So they're that instead now, they think Matt Patricia's great and also good. Jim Knowles, the last 4 years as a defensive coordinator, the number one defensive coordinator in football, and that's Oklahoma State before Ohio State too.
Yep.
Those 4 years combined. Last year they were number one in every single category. But now, bye, Jim. See ya. Now, again, does it help Jim Knowles that he had the most ridiculous talent? Yes, but let's please pump the brakes on freaking Matt Patricia, okay?
Well, as long as he's not, you know, the head coach or trying to be the offensive coordinator, I think he'll be fine out there, you know? It's when you put him as the offensive coordinator that you might run into some problems.
Yeah, yeah, that's – and which is the genius. good job.
Good stuff there.
God. I mean, it gets – this is, you know, back to him a little bit. Like, this is, like, potentially really damaging to the legacy. If it goes bad there, you know what I mean? It's just like – you just never should have done this, man. And he, you know, he was offended that, like, Atlanta made him go through all these hoops and then didn't hire him. But it's like, I mean, you know, there's probably a reason for that, too. Right?
Yeah, I would say so. Alabama waltzes down to Florida State and gets their butts kicked by the Seminoles. Tommy Castellanos out there just balling, was talking in the summer, running his mouth about how Alabama – doesn't have Nick Saban to come save him. And turns out maybe he's right down there. What did you make of Florida State and their season-opening win coming off a 2-10 season against Kalen DeBoer in year two at Alabama?
I mean, first of all, yeah, Florida State is the Brett Saberhagen of college football, which is an 80s baseball reference that you'd have to be a certain age. Like, every other year he was either, like, Cy Young Award winner or he'd go, like, 9-12 with a 4-5 ERA. Florida State going from amazing team 2 years ago, 2-10 last year. They look really good now. So that's the Florida State side. And Tommy Castellanos, I mean, he was Thomas last year. He loses his job at BC, gets benched. I didn't think he was very good. But, man, Gus Malzahn. You give Gus Malzahn a running quarterback. Man. I mean, this is he hasn't been an OC since like 2010 or something like that. I loved. I mean, it was fun to watch. It still works if you got that guy. But on the other side, man,
they got some problems.
It's not good, you know. And I don't want to sit here and. I mean, I wrote something where I invoked the name Brian Harsin, which might be a little harsh.
Oh, boy.
Brian Harsin.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks. But, man, if you're an Alabama fan, I mean, I can't blame you right now for being like, this is just not happening.
Oh, they're already talking about running him out of there.
Yeah. I mean, it's so early, but 9-5, 5-5 in his last 10, and they just look at him on the sideline. You know, you look at him on the sideline during that game, he looked not only out of answers, but like he wanted to be anywhere else in the world. And no one expected. Saban's on game day, like, basically, like, guys, they're going to be.
Yeah, they're going to be fine. Don't worry.
The culture's different. I talked to him, all this BS, trash talk from Florida State. And then they go out and do that to him. Physically manhandled them. An Alabama football team. This was not some couple fluky plays. They kicked their butt up and down the field. I'm worried about Kalen DeBoer.
Oh, my dad's already like, $60 million buyout? Whatever. That's fine.
Pay it.
Well, I got plenty of money.
I'll throw in a few.
You got plenty of money.
Get the GoFundMe going.
Yeah. It's like, he sucks. It's like, well, we'll see. I mean, a lot of people are mad at Ty Simpson. It's like, I mean, Ty Simpson was not good in that game, but I don't know if I walked away from it saying,
that wasn't
well, their big problem is Ty Simpson. Like, they got a lot of problems out there.
I thought Ty Simpson actually showed quite a bit of toughness and made some play. Again, they're just like UNC. That first drive was like, oh, man, that's Bama foot. That was like a 10-minute drive, just ran up. You know, like, oh, this is going to be a walk away, right? That's what Bama fans are thinking, and then it just completely falls apart. No, they have – first-round picks all over this offensive line. They're on the freaks list. And they're just getting crushed.
Yeah, it was pretty stunning. Now, and look, you know, Florida State, it's pretty clear that they had a lot of problems last year, but DJ Uiagalelei, one of them, not very good. And maybe if quarterback is a huge upgrade this year, they're a factor again in the ACC. We'll see. But they looked – I mean, it was 60 minutes where they just – kicked their butt on Saturday. It was crazy. Like, I was stunned watching it.
Yeah, I was too. I completely. Yeah, I mean, it's like, again, I think the Gus hire, it's pretty smart, man, you know. And the Gus hire and the Cassianos, because I don't like, in other offenses, I don't think he's accurate enough. Like, that was the problem last year at BC, is he'd make big plays, but he just wasn't consistent. But if you're going to do what they did and it's going to work like that, and then he can hit some shots to Squirrel White, among others.
Yes.
They got a chance.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We got a lot of your thoughts to get to on the college football front. We will do that. Going to next, Titans beginning their season this week. We'll get into that in the 7 o'clock hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Later today, on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Sounds taking on Norfolk with first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. K-Dodd on the YouTube chat says, love that the talk is about DeBoer getting fired and not Hugh Freeze after week one.
Yeah, Auburn. Auburn went into Baylor and took it to him. Oh, somebody was actually ripping you on Twitter about your Auburn take.
Oh, yeah? I didn't see it.
Wasn't that you?
I don't know. I mean, the amount of people that
you took Baylor in the pickskin pick'em.
I did. But the amount of people that
they
have
were going to be cheeks. I mean, I agreed.
But the amount of people that I have muted on Twitter is pretty high. So I did not see anybody ripping me on Twitter. I'll be honest with you. So if you did it, you're muted. Sorry.
We found unmuted. Yeah. Maybe I can go find it. Yeah, it was like, it was something about, Robbie's 7-5 pick or whatever like that. He's going to – I'm like, well, you know, 7-5 is actually
– 7-5 would be pretty good for Auburn.
Isn't that what you said? Is that what you said? I think that's what Twitter –
I said 7-5 for LSU, which that's looking good.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe it wasn't Auburn.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. But also, you're muted, whoever you are.
Yeah, whoever you are. I didn't see it.
Congratulations.
Sorry.
Congratulations. We do have a few things. We have not talked Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt rolled over Charleston Southern. Sold out the game, by the way, which
yeah.
is kind of a big deal.
It is.
I mean, that's pretty cool. And Pavia had, was like 20 for 25, 275. Looked great. Still.
I think he could have thrown the ball left-handed the whole game, and they'd have won by four touchdowns.
Which again, is that is progress. I mean, again, Charleston Southern, man,
I watched it. Like, I turned it on there, and I was like, oh, boy. Like, this,
just total
this is a name their score game. Like, they could make this score whatever they wanted to.
So, they've got – they, you know, I will say, you know, your boy Beamer with his Beamer ball got his little punt return, and they end up winning. But Virginia Tech actually outplayed them a lot of that game. Vandy,
it's going to be a good game.
Yeah,
Saturday.
It's going to be a good game. And, you know, Denzel Drones is just – man – just misses some throws. Again, it's kind of like I'm watching him, but it's like I was watching Arch again, you know. But yeah, that's going to be a really good game. It's one of the big games of this week. So, you know, we'll get more into that. But someone, you know, a lot of people on here are talking Poppy. Liam McLeod had, how about this question? Would you rather have Joey Aguilar or Diego Pavia?
Well, look, I mean, Diego Pavia has got a much more established body of work in the SEC at this point. So the answer is Pavia. But look, we'll see. I mean, Aguilar played really well in his first game. I don't know why we really got to make it more than that. Like, that's what he did. He came in, he played really well in his first game against a team in Syracuse that I don't think is very good. So we're going to continue to find out about Joey Aguilar. But, I mean, the answer to that right now would have to be Pavia, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, it's like, it's also, tell me what offense you're running, you know. But yeah. Like, look, Aguilar, good start, man.
It was start is about as good as you could have hoped for, given the situation.
And there is so somebody said that he sounded like Joe Pesci. Is that I have to go back.
I don't know. I don't know if I get Joe Pesci vibes from it.
You know, I'm grateful we're going to enjoy it tonight, but get back to work.
No.
That's not Pesci.
Not enough. Okay,
it is
okay,
somebody,
okay.
though. Yeah. It is somebody. Oh, God, it's going to bother me.
I don't know. You got to figure this out.
I'm gonna have to figure this out. We will do it. We figured out Step Brothers for Brian Callahan. We'll figure it out.
What did you make of the battle of the Tigers and LSU going on the road and taking down Clemson on Saturday night?
Hugely impressive to me. And you know, they brought in the new DC last year. Didn't go well. You got some new players, but Perkins is like you. You take that defense into that place at night, and again, week one, so defenses, a lot of defenses ahead of offenses on that stuff, but man, that was impressive. And I think that Nussmeier, I mean, I think maybe the two most impressive quarterbacks of this weekend were probably Nussmeier and Carson Beck, too. I thought Carson Beck was really good, and you kind of forget. It's like a year ago, everybody's like, Carson Beck, top five pick. And then it's like, oh, no, throw him on the scrap heap. Yeah, he can play. He was hurt last year, and I really thought he was good. But to your actual question, very impressive. And, again, we talked earlier about Klubnik. He's a good player. He's a very good college quarterback. He's going to be in the NFL. Garrett Nussmeier, to me, is just a much better prospect. I mean, that TD they took away from them, which was, you know, that was tough. But the throw – the throw on that play, I mean, I think that team, I mean, I might be flipping to just LSU might win the whole dang thing this year, man. They might.
Oh, I'm going to give plenty of room for Brian Kelly to screw this up.
Yeah.
Plenty of room to.
History tells me
he will screw it up at some point. But it was impressive in game one. The defense more than anything. Like, you know, I had reached the point with their defense where I was like, yeah, I just need to see it.
Yeah,
before
show it to me.
I'm going to anoint their defense. But they look really good in week one. Now we'll see where things go from here. We went through the schedule last year. LSU's got a heck of a schedule. So, you know, they got Florida on there. Obviously Alabama's on there. So we'll see what it all looks like and how they're able to kind of get that together. But LSU – the defense looked really good. And if they got a defense, like, they should be good enough offensively where they can compete. Like, they could be in this thing. So we'll see what that looks like there. But, you know, Alabama on the road, Maybe not as daunting as you originally thought. We'll see what that looks like.
Piece of cake.
Again, it is going to be interesting to see when we look back at the end of the year how much from week one was actually representative of what it's going to look like the rest of the year and how much of it is like, oh, man, can you believe Alabama got their butts kicked by Florida State, who ended up going 5-7 or whatever it was?
Right.
Yeah, like it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, there will be some things from this weekend that November will be like, oh, my God, look, can you believe we thought this? Real quick, okay, Theo Vaughn, okay.
All right.
Actually,
I can see that a little bit.
Yeah, and this is a little Brian Kelly. I think that might be part of it. Like,
oh, boy.
Now, of course, Kelly has
a
family of voices. But
Brian Kelly's real voice or his fake Southern voice?
Yeah. I also got Barry Oriole on Big Bang. I'm not sure. I didn't really watch that show. And Stale Cracker? The dude who does crawfish boils? I'm not familiar with this, but we'll have to check that out. Thank you for the submissions. We got some ideas.
I don't know who that is.
You know what? Mahomes, too, though. There is a little Kermit-type thing going on.
You heard it here. Joey Aguilar is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly.
Straight from the mouth of Joe Rexroth.
Oh, God. I compared him. I compared him back to Mahomes.
You did. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning. How we doing, man?
Yeah, how you doing, man? Joe, Robbie, how y'all doing? What's y'all up? Have a good Labor Day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, man. Just trying to get some rest. But, hey, Joe, you hit the nail on the head with Alabama, man. They got punked. They got their lunch money taken. The boy, he looks lost. If they don't have the $70 million, to get him out of there, they'll go to First Savings and Loan and put the campus up for collateral and get that money together, and they'll pay to get him up out of there. Because, Joe, if you look at their team, Alabama used to be the bully on the block, but, man, they got so manhandled. It's like they've turned into a finesse team, a West Coast-type team, and it's really sad to see that program go down the way it has. Nussmeier looked good this weekend.
Is it sad?
Yeah, it's really sad. Yeah, it is sad, Joe. Because that's my team.
Oh,
now I'm gonna give.
Sorry.
Now I'm gonna give. Yeah, I'm gonna give Vanderbilt a puncher's chance to maybe upset them again. I mean, if they can go in there and get a running game and out physical them, who knows? But yeah, like I was saying, Nussmeier looked good this weekend. Deion's team, man, they didn't look They didn't look good up front. Georgia Tech kind of manhandled them in the running game, gassed them for 200 some yards. But other than that, that was a pretty great weekend for football, man. And, Rob, before I go, I know I picked Tampa Bay to get the Super Bowl. But, man, since y'all got my guy from Dallas, man, that's going to be deep right there, Robbie. Y'all know
now switch it from Robbie. from the Tampa Bay to the Green Bay.
Now we're talking.
You can switch it.
Yeah. All the bays.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie, y'all, Michael Parsons, y'all got a chance now, Robbie. Matt LaFleur better call a great game. But before I go, Joe, watch Sarkisian, man. He's just like Kyle Shanahan. When he gets in big games, if you ever notice, man, his play calling gets suspect. He didn't really help Arch Manning out Saturday that much. But y'all have a good day,
man. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you.
See y'all later. All right, man.
Real quick, I do the Alabama part of this. Like, obviously, the Saban lore is gone. He's not there. Like, I do wonder, like, they used to have such a mental advantage heading into the game because everybody knew, like, oh, God, it's Alabama. Like, is that gone? Is it going away?
Yes.
Is it gone? And also, I said this after the Tennessee game last year, and a bunch of Vols fans got mad at me, and that's fine. When are we going to stop storming the field after you beat Alabama?
It's like 11 like straight.
Kalen DeBoer's 9-5. They've lost plenty since he's been there. Like, when are you going to stop storming the field after beating Alabama?
Real quick, that's the problem. They don't have that edge, but people still get fired up for them.
I know.
So it's like a double whammy
for
them. Tough. It's really sad to see.
Like the Vanderbilt game last year, that one, sure, stormed the field.
Yeah.
Really, anything beyond that? It's like, all right.
Tennessee a couple years ago. Absolutely.
Yeah. But that was with Nick Saban. Yeah. It's a little different. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
615-737-1025. Is our phone number. The Titans begin play this week. We'll take our first look at the matchup with the Broncos. Some interesting comments from Sean Payton as well that we'll get into. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.